Excited to see so many survivors. Welcome back. You made it through the latest crisis. And that word crisis, it comes from a Greek word, which means to separate and to sift, which means you pass judgment and you keep only what is worthwhile. And so within every crisis, there's an opportunity. And within the deeper crisis, the better the opportunity can be. And the key is to focus on the right stuff. And I'm going to guess that most of you did something. You did a separate and sift and decide what was valuable. I was talking to my son, and he was telling us that after the hurricane, they got up Thursday morning and they walked around the neighborhood. Anybody else walk around your neighborhood? All right. Only three of you. Okay. Different illustration. No, so he said they walked around the neighborhood and they're, you know, looking at things. And he said it was funny because there's neighbors. We've never talked to them the entire time we lived there. And you start talking and you're exchanging stories and you're talking about what's going on. And so somewhere in there, in that crisis, you realize that there are a lot of things that are really valuable. Like, hey, we're alive. My neighbor's alive. Hey, do you guys need any help? And so there's these conversations that don't normally take place. And that's an opportunity within the crisis to think differently. Now, Monday morning, things are probably going to change. And they usually do, right? You remember 9/12/01 and how people connected with one another? You remember a month later? And as Christians, we have this. This isn't the last crisis. You knew that, right? This is not the last crisis. And we live in a time where there's social and political upheaval. And the danger for Christians is in the middle of the crisis to get distracted from Jesus, to get distracted from what he wants to do, because there's going to be lots of voices out there on what to do. But as you sift through, as you separate and you decide what's important, I pray that it's Jesus that you find. So with that in mind, we're going through this sermon series called I Am. And last week we talked about God revealing himself where in Exodus, he revealed himself as the I Am. And during this a pivotal time in redemptive history, God comes to his people. He comes to redeem them out of slavery, which I would say that's a pretty major crisis if you're enslaved. And what does God do? He comes to them in that crisis, and he delivers them to a new life. And that's what God wants to do in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our crisis. And God's name, it discloses who he is, what he's like. So when God says, I am the I Am, he says, I'm the eternal one. I'm unchanging. I'm self-existent. I'm infinite. I'm above all things. I'm above all created things. All the things that we worry about, we go, what about this guy? What about this? He's like, I'm above all that. Okay? I'm the eternal one. And we're reminded that the God of the universe isn't just some mysterious, impersonal force. Okay? You know, like in Star Wars where they have the force, that's not God, okay? That's an impersonal force that this part's good, this part's bad. That's not God. God's a relational being, and guess what? He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And we saw in John, Jesus comes, and Jesus isn't just a prophet from God, because, oh, this guy's a prophet. No, this guy's Emmanuel. This is literally God with us. He's not just the one that's going to deliver you. He is your deliverance. He's not just the one who provides bread from heaven. He is the bread from heaven. And so as you continue in life with this sifting process, I pray that you either discover or rediscover for the first time the God that wants to be present with you. The God who is, the God who loves you, the God who sacrifices for you, and that you come, then you become like his son. A lot of times I meet people and they're saying, I'm just trying to find my purpose in life. Oh, let me help you out. Your purpose is to become like the Son of God. That the Bible literally says that that's our purpose, that we become like the Son. And we're going to be expedient today. We're going to cover two I am statements. We're going to cover I am the door, or your translation may say the gate. I am the door, and I am the good shepherd. And we're going to turn to John 10, begin at verse 7. And if you need a Bible, there's Bibles on the seats in front of you. If you don't own a Bible, you may take that one home. Nobody's going to stop you at the door. If they do, come see me. But as we're turning there, let me set up the scene. So chapter 8 closes with people trying to pick up stones to throw them after Jesus. And this is like a reoccurring theme. Jesus says, I am. And they go, okay, let's stone him to death. It's kind of like they have a hammer and everything's a nail. And so after chapter 8, it's followed by Jesus healing a blind man on the Sabbath. And whenever Jesus heals somebody on the Sabbath, it doesn't work out well. People are like, hey, there's six other days. You know, do your God stuff on those days, not this one. And it's really ironic in the sense that a man who's born blind actually sees more than those that have plain eyesight, our regular eyesight. And this is going to create, guess what, a crisis. Some of the religious leaders called the Pharisees, they don't like it. They don't like it. Hey, why are you healing on the Sabbath? And then they begin to question this man. They're saying, who healed you? Who did this? How did he do it? You know, I mean, I would just think the natural reaction would be like, that is so cool. I've literally seen you every day and you've never seen me. And here you can see. And then they ask him, what do you think of this man? And they don't like his answers, so they do the logical thing. Let's kick him out of the synagogue. But underneath all these questions is the bigger question of who's Jesus? Who are you, Jesus? Who is this guy that's going around healing people? Well, at the end of the chapter, Jesus is going to go find this man again, which is really cool. You ever notice how many times Jesus finds people? Like he finds this guy, he heals him, he gets kicked out of the synagogue. You know, and Jesus isn't like, you know, thoughts and prayers. Jesus actually goes and he follows the guy, and he checks, you know, he checks up with the guy and he reveals himself as the Messiah. So that's all chapter 9. We're now in chapter 10. But let me suggest chapter 10 is kind of like a living commentary of what just happened in chapter 9. It's going to talk about the blindness, talking about those that can see. And then Jesus begins by generically speaking, he's talking about gatekeepers. And you know what a gatekeeper does? That's kind of like, I know none of you have done this, but like if you go to a club, there's like a gatekeeper that decides who gets in the door, who doesn't. That's kind of a gatekeeper, so to speak. They decide who's in there. So Jesus is going to talk about gatekeepers. He's going to talk about good shepherds, bad shepherds. And the people are just going to stare at him like, yeah, like a couple of you. No, people are just going to stare at him. You know, what is he talking about? We're called sheep for a reason, okay? Let's look at verse 7, John chapter 10, verse 7. Jesus is going to explain himself. So begin at verse 7, John 10, it says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I'm the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. So Jesus is talking. He's talking to this new disciple, this man that he healed, and he's saying, okay, this is one of my sheep. He heard my voice, and Jesus is the good shepherd. And he gives life, and he treats the sheep well. By the way, if you're trying to wonder if you lead well, do you treat people well? That's a good one. But he's saying the Pharisees, they're imposters. They're actually poor shepherds. They abuse the sheep. They're like, we don't like your answers. You're out of the synagogue. It's not really good shepherding. And on another occasion, Jesus said to these same teachers, he says, but woe to you. He said, woe to you scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites. He says, you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. and you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Which is just fascinating, and we can do that. And let me just suggest something. There's a lot of things that can trip people up. Don't let it be you. If people are going to trip up, let it be the cross. Let it be Jesus. And so he's standing before leaders that really should be celebrating. I mean, how many of you have, like, we're not talking about some, you know, some reel that you're like, hey, look, this guy can see. All right. We're like somebody you knew. You saw them day in, day out, and they were blind. And this guy who claims to be the Messiah comes up and heals that guy. Wouldn't you, you'd come home that day and your wife would be like, oh, you're not going to believe what happened today. You're like, it's probably a cool story, but I got a better one. It's a blind guy that was healed. You know, for you guys, hear her story out first and then tell her that story. And don't tell her it's better. But the Pharisees, at least these particular Pharisees, they were more interested in being gatekeepers. Like, we don't like your story, you're out. When they're supposed to be shepherds. They're not gatekeepers, they're shepherds. And they're more focused on who's in and who's out. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. I'm the door. I am the door. Jesus is the decider. He's the way. Verse 9, he says, I am the door, and anyone who enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. I really like that sense of that freedom there, where it's like you're going to go in and out. I'm the door. And he introduces us to this I am statement. And we can conclude a couple things. This is a pretty exclusive claim, right? Like this is the door. It's me right here. You going in here? I'm the door. He would say other places, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. But let me suggest, in addition to a very exclusive claim, Jesus is talking to us in very intimate terms in how he is the way. And I'll argue a couple of things. I'm not going to argue. But I believe that Jesus being the door or the gate is an extended metaphor of him being a good shepherd. And you may disagree with me, but I don't. In an Eastern sheepfold, the shepherd, here's what the shepherd would do. He would lay down in the gateway at night to keep the sheep from wandering off and to stop predators from getting in. So Jesus says, I'm the door, I'm the gate. What is he doing? He's saying, okay, that shepherd that lays down, that's me. And there's this sense of protection. Think about that. There's a protection from the sheep from going and wandering off to harm themselves. And there's a protection from predators. There's usually only two people that hurt you. It's yourself and others. And in a sense here, Jesus says, okay, I'm laying down my life in front of you. One, to protect you from you. How many of you notice that sometimes you just need protection from yourself and your own decisions? So Jesus says, I'm laying down my life for you to protect you from you, but I'm also laying down my life to protect you from what's on the outside that wants to come in, which I think is just an incredible picture of Jesus literally laying down his life. The psalmist said this, Psalm 121:8. It says, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. It's just an incredible picture. And I'm going to guess that everybody in here has a picture of God. And maybe you have a picture of some face of how does God look at you? Is God like looking at you, you know, like this? Or is he's like, one more time, Try it again. See what happens, buddy. What's that picture of your God? And let me suggest, If somewhere in your picture of God, you don't have a picture of a God that at great cost loves you, at great cost to himself, lays down his life and cares for you, let me suggest something in your picture of God has to change. Okay? Because that is the picture that we get in Jesus Christ. And then I love this picture of this freedom, this going in and going out. Tim Keller describes it this way. He says, you go out into everything you do in life through Christ. When you're leaving for work in the morning, you are going out to your daily business. Go through Christ. In other words, meet with him first, seek him first, know him first. Go with Christ on your mind and in your heart. And when you go into the trials of life, anybody here, trials of life? Okay. Most. When you go out into the trials of life, you are going through Christ. Christ is your entry point. And when you go to fight your sin, hopefully you're doing that. When you go to fight your sin, you're going through Christ. And in all the work that you do for him, you go through Christ. Okay? Going in and out, it's through Christ. We are to live this new life through Christ. You come to that, hopefully you've come to that crisis of belief. And you go in and out through Christ. He is our entry point. But he's not just our entry point. The Christian life isn't just an entry point, you know, where people are like, well, I got saved back in whatever, and I've been in the way ever since. Yeah, you probably have. Through Christ is how we engage everything. And when Christ comes, he wants to be a part of every part of your life. And then Jesus is going to compare his action to false leaders. Verse 10. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't know why people negotiate with Satan or like go down certain, like there's only a couple things Satan wants to do to you. Steal, kill, and destroy. Which of those are good? Survey says, and Jesus says, but I've come that they might have life and they might have it abundantly. And so we can look at this and say, okay, ultimately, I mean, Satan's the ultimate thief. But let me suggest that Jesus saw many thieves and imposters in his day that were more interested in their own power. They were interested in their position than they were of the actual sheep. And Jesus is saying the true shepherd lays down his life. And he says the false shepherd, he steals. He feeds himself. Think about when the announcement of Jesus was born. When Jesus was born, you know, there's a new king. Well, there were some kings that didn't like that story. Like Herod. What does Herod do? Herod should have been the first one. He should have said, follow me as I follow this new king. What does he do? He says, kill everybody that's under, you know, this age. Let's wipe them out. And so... What we see is some leaders that they don't care about justice. They don't care about mercy. They don't care about human flourishing. And Jesus says they're imposters. They didn't come that you might have life. And this is why Jesus is important here as the door. If you want the abundant life, let me ask a dumb question. Anybody want an abundant life? Whatever abundant means, yeah, 90%. We're getting there. It's found in Jesus. Jesus is saying it's found in me. And I know there are many people that say I'm not experiencing the abundant life. And I can tell you, this is just my personal experience. A lot of times it's because we're half in. So we're half in. Like, yeah, Jesus is really cool as a savior. But how about Lord? Is Jesus a good Lord? Is Jesus a good role model? Am I going to follow him in and out of that gate? Dallas Willard says this, if it doesn't work at all, or only works in fits and starts, it's because we do not give ourselves to it in the way that allows our lives to be taken over by it. In other words, do we come to Jesus and say, I give you my life. Take my life. Do what you want to do. Life is found in an intimate relationship with Jesus, and you can trust him. Jesus says this, verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so just so we don't misunderstand Jesus, Jesus isn't just like quick on his feet. You know, like, oh, these people aren't getting it. They're just staring at me. Man, what can I do here? And, you know, last week I talked about bread, and bread nourishes it. And they'll kind of get that. Yeah, I'm the bread of life. You know, shepherds care. Ah, let's go with shepherds. Yeah, let's do that. Shepherds care. No, okay, Jesus isn't doing that. I'm not suggesting Jesus isn't quick on his feet. But what I'm suggesting is Jesus is making very purposeful, very specific promises. He's being very specific, saying, this is who I am. Actually, I've been declared for centuries. And in fact, let me read something that's 600 years prior to this moment. Ezekiel, you can turn there if you like. I might be gone by the time you get there. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. It says, for thus says the Lord God, thus says Yahweh Elohim. He says, behold, I myself, I wasn't stuttering there. He's got the personal pronoun twice. I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the ravines and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture. On the mountain and the heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land and on rich pasture and shall feed on the mountains of Israel. Verse 15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep and I will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost and I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Man, it's fascinating. Did you notice how many times, like God's like, I want you to make sure, when this happens, I want you to know that it's me. He's saying, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. And remember in the last chapter, this question is, Jesus, who are you? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus is making extremely radical claims here. Jesus isn't going, hey, I'm a good person. He's not saying that. He is a good person, but he's not saying that. He's not even saying, I'm a good shepherd. He's saying, I am the good shepherd. You go to Ezekiel, he's saying, that's me. That this is talking about me. And he's telling the people, I'm that guy. I am the sovereign Lord. I am the one where I myself am not an angel and not a servant. He says, I will search out my sheep. The language is very clear. And here's how we know Jesus was very clear. Because the people pick up stones. It's like the only tool they have. Everything's a nail. And they're like, ah, we get it. You're saying this is, you're that guy. I mean, you fed us bread. You healed a blind guy. You know, all the signs point to you're actually that guy. But like, all we know is we're going to stone you. And I mean, and the people literally say, they say, you being a man, make yourself out to be God. They understood what Jesus was saying. They didn't understand who Jesus is. In the Old Testament, kings are often associated with shepherds. And Jesus, in this moment, not only is he saying he's the shepherd of Israel because he is, but he's saying he is the exalted king of creation. Okay? He is the king of every nation. He is the king of all people. He is the one that is going to restore all things. Jesus is the one who is bringing God's kingdom. And Jesus says, I am unique from these others. In verse 12, he says this. He who is a hired hand and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus says, that's not me. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. He says, I know my sheep. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. How incredible is that? God himself comes. And he says, just as you can count on this, you can count on this here, that I will lay down my life for the sheep. I'd heard another pastor talk one time about cowboys versus shepherds. And in some ways, there's some similarities in cowboys and shepherds. They're kind of rugged individuals on the surface and have some similar type jobs, but they accomplish them in very different ways. Think of this. What does a cowboy do? The cowboy drives the cattle, right? The cowboy yells and he cracks the whip, whatever they do. I don't know. I'm a shepherd. I'm not a cowboy. So the cowboy yells, he cracks the whip from the side, and some people like that, you know. But the shepherd, he leads in a different way. He's not cracking the whip. He's not cracking the whip on the side. The shepherd leads from out front. And the herd has a dozen cowboys. There's a bunch of cowboys, right? They're rounding them out. They're cracking whips all over the place. And guess what? Cattle don't know him. They do not know him. The shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know him. The cowboy, he goes out there and he wrestles, he brands, he herds, and he ropes. The shepherd, he guides, and the shepherd feeds. And guess what? The cattle will respect, and they will obey the cowboy. Right? They'll respect him. You know, I suppose I would too if somebody's cracking a whip on me. I'm like, okay, this way. We're all good. They respect, they obey the cowboy. The sheep, they love, and they trust, and they rely on the shepherd. And throughout the Bible, God reveals himself. God finds his people, and he finds his people in the midst of life crises and trials, and he reveals himself and he leads them to new life. So if you're in the middle of a crisis, you're in the middle of a trial, God's really good at finding people in the middle of those trials. And really, the question comes back to, are we going to rely on him? Because God leads his people to new life, to new purposes, but not everyone follows, right? I mean, Jesus is up there. I mean, I don't know what else to do. I mean, he multiplied bread and fish. He heals a blind guy. He's like, if that's not good enough, I'll die and resurrect again. Like what I need to do for you to trust and to follow me and to follow my voice. Some people choose the voice of the cowboy. And there's lots of voices out there saying, this is what you got to do. This is how you got to live. Are you going to trust the thief? Are you going to trust the shepherd? Let me close with a couple questions here. What voice are you listening to? Is it the voice of the shepherd? And if you're listening to other voices, is it time to change? And here's a good test. I think this is a good test to decide or to figure out what voice am I listening to. How, how do I treat others? Because a lot of times, I'm going to treat people the way I think God treats me. And if I'm treating people like I'm the cowboy, it's probably not God that I'm listening to. I'm probably listening to a totally different leadership style. Francis Chan says, we like Jesus. We just don't think he's a good role model. You know, we like him. I mean, it's cool. He laid down his life for me. That's cool. Okay, you're my savior. But is he Lord? Is Jesus somebody that I'm going to follow? Because he's not just a good savior. I'm going to follow this Jesus. He's a good Lord. Let me just close in prayer. Father, what an incredible story. How incredible when we lose our way. We wander from you. But it's you that makes the first move. You come and you seek out your lost sheep. You seek us when we wander, when we disobey, when we intentionally walk away from you. And yet as a shepherd, you sometimes leave the 99 and go after the one. And Lord, I pray today that each person here would be one that would say, Lord, I return to you. Lord, I receive you not just as my Savior, but Lord of every aspect of my life. Because Lord, others have come. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came that I might have life and have it abundantly. So Lord, I pray today that each of us, in the midst of trials, in the midst of struggles, in the midst of life not going the way that we should, or we think it should, that we'll say, we will follow you, Lord. We will follow the good shepherd. Lord, have your way with your people today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.